Who cares? What is the difference between fraud and waste? The point is you're incinerating taxpayer money. And these are the only idiots in the world that could find a problem with that.
Right.
Right? Like, and it's so disingenuous.
Well, I think if you show up and say in a few months you can cut $2 trillion out of a $7 trillion budget, you're not going to succeed. If there was a modest cut, you know, and a challenge to be more efficient or to get others to step up, I'm fine with that. But 80%, that's going to be millions of deaths, and it's a mistake.
Hello, Zach Abraham. Overwhelmed, underwhelmed, no opinion on the U.S.-China semi-deal?
Look, the way that I would say this is you got to be tacitly optimistic. I think that, like you and I discussed, I think that a lot of this talk about the U.S. has no leverage on China and Trump's going to blow up the entire world. All of the doomsayers that said we had no leverage on China and this is economic suicide were horrifically wrong again. And was Trump's gambit risky? Yeah, but if talks went anywhere near as constructively this weekend as the administration suggests and markets seem to think, then I think the only takeaway from that is this was causing far more angst and pressure on China than any of Trump's detractors would admit. And I think that this has to, at this point, go in yet another one in the L column for those folks.
Yeah, and it's like still TBD because, I mean, based on what we know about it so far, even they're acknowledging this is a pathway toward more conversations. So even the Trump administration is saying these conversations aren't done. So the media jumps on it. Oh, is this enough? He didn't do enough. It's like, no, they're literally telling you the conversations aren't done. This is an agreement to continue to talk about how to even the playing field a little bit and how to get China to help cut down on the flow of fentanyl ingredients into Mexico, which come up to the United States, which is also a problem.
Yeah, it pure speculation on my part, but me kind of reading through the tea leaves and listening to what they were saying, what it sounds to me like is that they were positively surprised by the tenor and the tone on the Chinese side and the willingness to address some of these issues.
Yeah.
Right? Which would, again, it's the detractors are going to hate this, but it's if that is the case, then Trump played it right.
Yeah. And would you rather he do nothing? You know, it's sort of, you're never going to get anything you don't ask for. Would you rather it be old Joe Biden and he's not asking China for anything or trying to do anything? So even if you come away and things are just only slightly improved with China, is that not still a victory? I guess I just, as with any criticism of Trump, it is all or nothing and it never makes any sense.
Yeah, that was the argument that I've had from the beginning. And I've even had disagreements with my head of research about that because he was negative. And I said, look, I see this. I'm sorry, but I see this as being very convex, meaning in order to have believed that this was going to be pure economic devastation, you had to believe a couple things. You had to believe, A, that we had no leverage. We would get nothing out of these trade negotiations and we couldn't make things better. And B, you had to also believe that Trump would keep his foot on the pedal and run right into the brick wall, right? That's just clearly not the case. And I think you can see that he was willing to pull back on those tariffs. Worst case scenario, you default back to where you were.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Right.
And nobody was not gonna do that. It wasn't like, no, you said no, you know, not like China was gonna be like, no, you said tariffs, we're not gonna let this matter. They have a trade surplus with us, right? They're going to gladly agree to go back. Like, so even if you didn't get anything done, what's the downside to that?
Yeah.
Maybe some embarrassment or not looking as strong on the world stage, but you know, we're America, whatever.
Yeah. You got to try. And that's, I mean, look at the border. All you had to do is just try at the border and look at where things are now. Okay. 60 Minutes covering Doge's work, shock of the century. Very critical. So I got to play this clip with this expert who asserts that Doge and Elon Musk are conflating what is going on in America's books.
Fraud is willful deception. It involves willful deception and it has to be proven in a court of law.
Is Doge conflating
fraud with wasteful spending? Yes, often.
So that's kind of the basis for the story, is Doge is conflating these two things. It's acting like everything is fraud, everything is nefarious. When we literally played on this show a couple weeks ago.
He literally said the opposite of that.
He literally said the opposite of it and was very, very nuanced and has been very, very nuanced when he's explained to other people the clear difference between waste and fraud and when there's sometimes a gray area. Here's the clip we played previously.
If you say, look, what's the waste to fraud ratio?
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's like 80% waste, 20% fraud. Hmm. But, okay. but you do have these sort of gray areas.
Yep.
So example
would be, so we saw a lot of payments going out of Treasury that had no payment code and no explanation for the payment. And then we'd try to figure out what that payment is, and we'd see that, okay, that contract was supposed to be shut off, but someone forgot to shut off that contract, and so the company kept getting money.
Wow.
Now, is that waste or fraud?
Yeah, both.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, both.
It's sort of,
if you know you're getting something you're not supposed to get.
You're not supposed to get it, but the government sent it to you, and nobody from the government asked for it back.
On multiple occasions, he's been very nuanced about this is waste, this is fraud, there's some stuff with the gray area. In 60 Minutes turns around, platforms a talking head who says, Doge is conflating waste and fraud.
What's the point? Because here's the deal. Okay, so if a company or a group or a 501c3 or whatever is given a grant, and that grant, to the best of the government agency's knowledge that gives it to them, is given legally, but those people do not use 100% of the funds the way they said, or 80% of those funds get absorbed by operating costs, mm-hmm, and bonuses, and the government didn't know that. That's fraud, right? Because the end use of the money is how we define fraud. We're not saying the government, it's all on the government and they're committing fraud. But if we're giving grants and those people are not using the money for that, which we've got hundreds of examples of that, that's fraud. And at the end of the day, who cares? What is the difference between fraud and waste? The point is you're incinerating taxpayer money. And these are the only idiots in the world that could find a problem with that.
Right.
Right. Like, and it's so disingenuous, just the way they discuss it, right? Trying to delineate between the two, right? Because it is the end use, right? If we find out that the government spent $5 million or $5 million on some ridiculous, this little tree frog over, is that fraud? No, but the end result is exactly the same. And, transgender studies over in Ireland or wherever. No, it's not fraud. You gave it out legally, but it's the impact is the same to me. It's completely wasteful, irresponsible spending. So whether you meant to burn down the building or whether you did it because you had a cigar party and you decided to top it off with a gasoline fight, I don't really care. Either way, the building is sitting in ashes, right? It is exhausting. You're going to do a 60 Minutes article on the efficacy of Doge, the only government agency that has looked into wasteful government spending in the last 50 years. Really, that's at the top of the list of things we're worried about? I mean, this is nuts.
Well, and rather than saying, hey, here's some of the very serious things they're finding, but you're right in that positioning waste as somehow less bad. And I get it that there's a criminal intent element lacking.
Sure.
But waste, even according to Elon Musk, is much more prevalent than fraud. So the amount of money that's being pissed away or wasted far exceeds the amount of money that's being stolen via fraud or misused via fraud. So in a lot of ways, waste is the bigger problem. But the news has to sort of, oh, well, it's not fraud. It's just waste. It's like the you mentioned all the time, this Department of Defense lady who's like, oh, it's not fraud. We're just missing billions of dollars. And it's like, okay, but so you're missing it. So you don't know where it is. They have to, mince words in order to try to prove a point against Elon Musk.
And the thing that angers me about it too, is it's so misleading, meaning you're not, people need to understand the way government functions. And they need to understand that at best, it's a leaky sieve, not because they're all trying to screw you over. It's because they are making financial decisions with political motives. You got to get that out under control. And anybody standing in the way with that is an enemy of the people.
Yeah, I agree. And that includes sometimes the media. I used to hate that enemy of the people label. And now I'm like, God, you guys really are making it hard for me not to agree with it sometimes, because you're really doing a crappy job.
Yeah. And this is a perfect example, because the people now that are picking up this mantle, what are they defending? This isn't a chop job on the DNC. This isn't aimed at any political party. This is looking at just government agencies, right? Like, nobody gets political egg on their face here. That's not what it's about. And they've managed to politicize cutting wasteful spending.
You make a good point that Democrats are almost aligning themselves with the waste. Like they're on the side, like they're on the side of the criminal illegal aliens, and they're on the side of the people wasting our money on dumb stuff. They're really picking the wrong side a lot, especially for a party that just lost their ass.
Well, and look, there's a tremendous political opportunity here for the administration and people. Look, keep taking on issues that are completely common sense and that were once considered middle ground. And the minute Trump supports it, they've got to stand on the other side. They can't even clap for children with cancer.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. That's where we're at.
True. Literally. All right. Yep. With that, let's get to our Doge Miz of the Week. We both love cost saving. I think we've established that. But is the best way to cut costs importing a 747 Air Force One from Qatar for free? The Trump administration has announced that because they're in desperate need of a new Air Force One, Qatar has agreed to give them a 747 they've used that's been called the Palace of the Sky to use as Air Force One in the United States, because apparently Boeing is taking too long. So Donald Trump sent out a post on Truth Social to criticism. He says, so the fact that the Defense Department is getting a gift free of charge of a 747 aircraft to replace the 40-year-old Air Force One temporarily in a very public and transparent transaction so bothers the crooked Democrats that they insist we pay top dollar for the plane. Anybody can do that. The Dems are world-class losers, MAGA. So because he's sick of waiting for a new Air Force One, Qatar says, we got a plane sitting around that you can have. I just don't think... First of all, there's two arguments here. For safety reasons, I don't want the president flying around in a 747 that was given to us by Qatar. The other thing is, apparently it's legal what they're doing. They've announced it. It really does come across as a gift. Like a little bit of, you know, we'll give this
to you. Like the Statue of Liberty?
Wow, that's the example Nicole gave too. Like the Statue of Liberty was a gift, but do they expect something from us for this Air Force One?
I mean, we're sitting here talking about, you know, $7 trillion annual budgets. And, you know, what's the total cost of a 747? Is it 150 million or 100 million bucks or something
like that? Probably a little more to equip it as Air Force One.
Yeah, to get it equipped. Okay, let's say it's half a billion, right? It's a gift to the United States. It's not like Trump gets to keep it when he leaves office, right? I understand your safety concern part of it, but I would also have to trust the people in the Defense Department, because I'm sure they would know, like, you know what I mean? It would either be there are folks there that'd be like, yes, we can do this, this, and this, and make sure the thing's going to be fine. It seems to be a bit of a security issue to me.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I agree with you. My first blush, I was like, well, but again, I'd have to rely on if the Secret Service can allow them to fly on, you know what I mean? Like, I trust that they've got experts that are like, hey, we'll check here, we'll check there. We know how to make this thing suitable.
Well, here's the question. If China were giving it to us, a 747, would you feel the same way?
Well, a little bit different. Well, like if it was a Boeing 747?
Yeah,
I would feel different. But part of the reason I would feel different is because if China did give us like a, you know, like a Trojan horse type deal, that would be far harder to correct, right? Like, so meaning...
they're more sophisticated. You know,
well, yeah. And I mean, look, Qatar is much smaller.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so the risk of ticking us off is much, you know what I mean? That's like a, you know, that's kind of like an ant trying to pick a fight with a human. You know what I mean? Whereas with China, it wouldn't be just like, oh, you gave us a bum plane and we're going to go in there and, you know, root you out. I think Qatar would feel far more exposed. But probably obvious. Well, I'm not surprised that Boeing can't get the plane out on time.
Right? Wouldn't that be your number one priority? Although with all their safety issues, I don't want them to rush it. I would very much like Donald Trump to be safe while he's flying. But I just don't believe that Qatar is doing it out of the goodness of their heart for, you know, oh, we don't want anything. We don't expect anything in return. That doesn't mean Trump's going to give them something in return or is going to give them any sort of preferential treatment. But it's just sort of that if anybody gives me a gift of any kind for no reason, I'm sort of like, why are you giving me this? You know, what do you want from me?
Well, I'll tell you, it certainly doesn't make life easier on him.
Right.
Just because, you know, the left certainly going to be like, that's a bribe. Now he's taking open bribes. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, the other thing is the existing 747 that big of a problem? Like, it's
40 years old. Air Force One is right now. And they've been trying to, I mean, this has been going on for a long time that they're building a new Air Force One. It's just taking longer. So this one will be the temporary replacement, according to Trump.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's 40 years old. The airframe probably is 40 years old, but nothing else on it's 40 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I guarantee you got brand new engines, brand new tech, electronics, all that kind of stuff. If I was Trump, if I was advising him once again, I'd be like, just wait till Boeing's done.
I would too. Just wait.
Yeah. That guy, you know what, though? There's a part of it, though, that I have to admire. That guy's willingness to kick the bee's nest over and over and over again and, like, chuckle about it.
Yeah.
I literally get tired for him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And physically it makes me tired, but there is a funny part of it because I'm just like, man, this guy just does not let them take a rest.
He likes a good deal, though.
He loves a great deal. Yeah, he loves a good deal. And it, as it relates to Qatar, I think that you got to look at them in a little bit different light, meaning, look, they do not have nearly as clean of hands as they would like to portray. However, it does seem to me that they're trying to style themselves as sort of the Switzerland of the Middle East. You know, they want to be they want to be buddies with everybody. And it's hard to discredit that. I mean, if you're positioning yourself as a non-oppositional peacemaker, and that to me, so knowing that about them, this to me just seems kind of like their normal MO.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they doing it to get people to look past other things they're doing? Probably in some cases, but this is not like if that offer came from Saudi Arabia, I would look at it a little bit more jaundiced.
Sure.
But this does kind of fit the Qatari MO.
Yeah. Love cost saving. Maybe not in this arena. Maybe that's not where we need to cut costs. But I love how that's Trump's putting it. Oh, I saved us all this money. It's funny. All right, Zach, still bullish on Doge?
100%. No downside.
All right. Still at 100%. One day, not 99, not 98, 100%. Okay.
No. Cut the cost, man.
All right. We'll see you next week.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.